Okay, does it happen to all of us that at some points in our lives things just come as it seems crashing down and you lose your work or someone you love, or all that you thought was real and okay suddenly isn't or changed or appear to be what it didn't seem to be. And well, upheaval, or whatever you want to call it, for me was in the late 90s, when by fate, you could say, well, many things changed. For all of us devotees here in North Europe, and for me especially, so I just went to Sri Sri Gandharvika Girdhari in New Radhakund here in Sweden, and sat there in front of them for a week praying to them. I mean, not 24/7, but I guess hours every day. Please just lead me now, engage me in your service, use me as you like, and I don't know what you want of me. I am bewildered, please instruct me. Karpanya dosha patasato and all of it was really one of those. And I can say now, afterwards, looking back at my life, where I had several of those. But although it may seem dark and hopeless and bewildering in such a situation, which is of course what makes you desperately turn to God in any way and pray like that for guidance, to me they now seem like, okay, it's time for a new level now. So they always bring about something positive. If, I would say, we make the right choice in such a situation. So for me, the right choice was, hey, Govinda, take care of me now and lead me. Now, the following years, did not become what I expected then. Rather than being led to some service there in the temple or ISKCON, I found myself out in the society again. I mean, the society outside there, right? Which I'd almost forgotten about. Having a family, all of that, at a rather late age, starting at 44, becoming a father at 50. So it was quite an adventure. I remember, and I'm not going to talk about this now because that's not the point, but going to the unemployment office trying to find a job, and the lady there, the first thing she said was, you're too old to get a job. But so it was quite some austere struggle, and now I'm retired. I made it through so far. Kids are 18 and starting to stand on their own feet a little bit. And now I'm standing here. I'm telling all this just because I suspect there are others like me. A bit in between, not knowing which step, which direction to take next step in. Shall I now move back into the temple? Or shall I continue working out in society? And I think back, and it really feels to me that Krishna pushed me out into the world. And I can say one thing confidently here, that, well, first of all, it has been very educative. not as I thought back then, to show me the horrors of the demoniac materialistic society. But yeah, that, but also the other point of view, other side to it. That yes, we, as a group of devotees of Krishna, had created much for ourselves, which is generally the case, an environment similar to that of cults, whatever that word means. Religious groups that somehow cut themselves off from the rest of society, trying to make their own complete, perfect world, paradise, and so on. Of course, those around me were not, except maybe the first few years, well, skip that sentence. But there's one thing I can say here. Which I'm not the only one who can see. Many things going on in the society out there around us, at least here where I live in Sweden, work pretty well. Some don't. But the thing is, it's a big world with many people, different people. It's the world we came from, remember it? Where we did our thing and we had our family and we had our friends and we were hanging out and we learned about this or that, whatever we wanted. And did this and that, whatever we wanted. And especially I would say I learned because I got a job at a big, successful, well-managed company. I would say a typical example of the Swedish flat structure organization. Where the CEO is low-key. is one of us and all of that. But it worked very well, because what happened was that there were quite a few among the staff that had risen up to a great level of high level of responsibility and were very qualified. So the whole company practically ran itself. Now that's just one example. But in short, I many times found myself embarrassed at growing up for my young adult life ignorant about so many things that really have been very well established and innovated extremely intelligently. In the world out there, technology, for instance, well, we learned some, IT guys thought they were very clever. Well, some were, but the professionals out there were at a completely different league. Which, well, first was good for your humility, because you weren't the greatest in the world, but also was valuable to learn from. Both sides, I mean, how artificial and false people can be. Which, of course, Krishna people can also be. I mean, we're not immune. Just by joining a group like that, but mainly that lack of that's nice and stable spiritual, you could say, the dharmic foundation. that yes, yes, we may be like this or that. We flawed humans. But we all want to be servants of each other and Krishna. Best friends of every living being and tolerant and merciful and so on. I guess what the Christians also share, that makes their societies stable when it works, but which is lacking out there. Mainly some kind of postmodern nihilistic, sometimes very narcissistic, so-called culture that is very weird. And even spirituality is often also impersonal and narcissistic, self-centered. And sometimes just another, maybe more refined form of material development. And well, but I wouldn't have been without this experience of actually learning to live, standing on your own feet, earning your own income and so on in the society here, it was probably a greater challenge than to take sannyas, because you could only depend on Krishna. But what was it I wanted to say? I speak too much. Well, in a way, as strange as it may sound, people felt more real out there in society. And I think it's because, well, some, a lot of role playing going on there. But we had also learned a lot of role playing and I really, maybe it was just because of me, had relationships to other devotees as frank and honest and real, you could say, as I had with my friends back then. We could talk about almost anything, but here you were, and if you said a little thing wrong, then you were basically ostracized, marginalized, pushed out of the community. So anywhere, there are both sides to everything, but I would say, from looking back, that life in the temple, in the ashram, as a brahmachari for me worked fine, great. It was a very nice experience. I wouldn't have been without. I don't know, but but then when I got married, that should have been for real. And it should have been like that for all of us. In this way, we wouldn't have developed that bubble, because those bubbles can be a bit dangerous. They call them echo chambers nowadays and things like that. But once there is this wall around you to protect you from the world outside, whatever is inside starts to resonate and bounce around those walls until they become truths. Just like air in a one of those twisters. Can spin up to such high speeds that it cuts through things like iron, like steel. It's powerful. I mean, it's very powerful. And then, of course, there are always those who learn to direct that wind, those currents, make the right things reverberate and kind of manipulate it and make profit and all that on it. It's just like that everywhere. And maybe that's a bit where then many old devotees or devotees like myself find themselves now, living in the society of the country they live in, earning their own income. It used to be even looked down upon. But now I think it's a strength that we can build the next level of the Krishna consciousness movement, this Sankirtan movement, which is very beautiful. If we could only do our part right. Some say forget the past. Why are you dwelling on the past? But for some, you know, the past hurts. You can't forget it, because the pain is there in you. that's what therapy is for. To deal with the past. And you could say, yeah, just chant Hare Krishna, that's the best therapy, and then it will go, why don't you have faith? But then we should be able to practically, by our own example, show how that is done. And so on. So so here I am, and I even became a certified hypnotherapist and worked like that, my own practice, for a couple of years until the kids came. And so many things then became clear to me, but what really struck me was how in all this, the teachings there of the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya and so on, they are so pertinent, they are so acute and so helpful. They actually contain the solution, the healing. But we only just started scratching on the surface. So we were so busy working, and tried to follow all the rules and principles and this and that. That some of us at least didn't have so much time for just going deeper there within ourselves. Even the japa became sometimes a matter of ticking off some numbers. Okay, that was round 16, great, done my rounds for today. Rather than a quality time with ourselves and Krishna, where we just sat down, closed our eyes, and absorbed our mind and heart and the presence of Krishna there, Radha Krishna and the holy name. I mean, to do that requires a bit of sattvic mind and it may sometimes be difficult to switch between that and a mode of intense work and action and accomplishment. So I really think that if we just now open our eyes and look at the situation, the opportunities, and where we are now, it's beautiful. We have Krishna. Many of us at least are standing on our own feet. We have reclaimed our own life and souls and intellects. can be free spirits, but still by our free will decide to be Krishna conscious, surrender to Krishna. Knowing that it doesn't mean surrendering to a boss in an organization, but turning inwards, taking shelter of Krishna, depending on Krishna, and trusting Krishna, and to realize that Krishna, when we do that, Krishna never lets us down. Of course not. So anyway, here we are now. A bunch of Krishna devotees on a planet. What now?